Kimita Hashev, hello, how are you? My name's Brad Reed.
And I'm Heather Hines.
And welcome to Trad with Brad. This episode is Eric Marcotte, a buddy of mine who moved to Cape Breton a few years ago and is a great musician. And we've hung out over the last couple of years. And so we got to meet up and play some tunes. There's a little bit of a learning curve for this. I was figuring out how to use the gear while talking and while playing tunes. So it's yeah, we get all that going on, but it was pretty fun. What'd you think, Heather?
Yeah, this is a good one to start with. Someone who, you know, really recently moved to Cape Breton, kind of at an inopportune time, but definitely made the most of it. So I loved hearing from him.
With that, please enjoy Eric Marcotte. How did we meet originally? I think it was maybe through the Cape Breton Fiddlers practice or something.
It was at the Gala College, that's for sure.
And that was, I guess, last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of...
It was a practice, I think, before the summer or maybe at the beginning of the summer.
Yeah.
Because we were in the hall. And I think that's where I met you.
And you were living in Bedeck. Mm-hmm. And I kind of... Yeah, I was spending some time in Bedeck that summer doing... I think I stayed in Airbnb, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's where I ended up moving into.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, yes. I hooked you up with this.
So there we go.
With an accommodation.
Uh-huh.
Right next to McRae's. That place. I ended up getting a light bulb fixed there on the truck, a headlight.
Great garage.
And, yeah,
I'll plug McRae's.
I think it cost $8 for the bulb and maybe like another $8 to install it, which is like, and they did it right there, which you know. For back in the city, it would have been a bigger ordeal to get a bulb changed.
Yeah.
But so that was cool. And what do you got on the go these days? Yeah, I've seen you play with Madison, mm-hmm. the Brackish.
Brackish.
A little bit, or I've seen
it. Yeah, Brackish is back.
What's the Brackish all about?
Brackish is a duo / conglomeration of musicians, basically whatever the setting calls for. So yeah, Madison and I play a lot of music and... get some other people, friends that we know around, and they'll jump on some gigs with us too. So kind of started at the Inverary, playing at the Narrows, hosting an open mic, and then played a lot last summer. And it was Madison, Derek, and I, and it was great. We were searching for a name as one of those bands where we were just looking for a name for the longest time. And every name we pitched out, we had... It's nice when you have a trio because you'll either get two yeses and a no. You got to have a democracy, right?
Yeah, so, for sure.
But finally, I thought we landed on the Brackish because it had some meat in the Bredor Lakes. And, you know, we all met in Bedeck and that's Brackish Waters. So that was a name that connected. I like that one. Yep, so yeah. So yeah, that's one band.
And then with the tunes, like you, well, maybe, I don't think you have any bands as far as playing tunes, but we've played tunes together and, mm-hmm.
You were my first gig. You were my first paying gig.
At the Lewisburg. that was funny. So if I remember correctly, we didn't have a lot of details going into that, but we knew that we were playing at Lewisburg. So we showed up, and somebody pointed us to the right room eventually. And so then it was upstairs, I think, in like the old tavern or something like that. And I mean, I think we thought it was just kind of like, you know, just go in and play for an hour or two, like while people are doing their thing, like, you know, having some drinks or some food.
Yes, you told me dinner crowd, very low pressure. They'll be distracted and eating, and we're just going to play some tunes in the side, which I thought, great, you know.
Yeah, and meanwhile, we show up, and it's this very small room of, I don't know, I guess maybe 30 people, and they're focused on us. Like they're finished eating, drinking. It's like, it's time for the show.
Yes.
So we're sitting there.
And we've never played one-on-one together.
No.
You didn't know how much tunes I know, which is not a lot, especially at the time.
Yeah. But it was like, I mean, for me, it was kind of similar to stuff I've done in the past because I used to work at Citadel Hill and it's like a bit of interpretation. Like you play, like talk about what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And if you can relate it to the venue, that's even better. You know, they like that. So
mm-hmm.
I think I tried to do that, and we played for, I guess, probably an hour. Like,
well, I think we pulled it off. No one threw anything, so maybe even an applause or two. So,
yeah,
I think that went well.
What else? We did some stuff at maybe Big Spruce
and then
the market.
Yeah, Malibu Market, right? Yeah, that was a good time. And then Big Spruce, and that might have been it. And then you stayed at my house in Bedeque when I was living there for Celtic Colors for a bit.
Yeah, that was fun. I was waiting. You told me that there might be like 5 or 6 people there, and I was kind of waiting for that to happen just because it would have been kind of funny. But I don't think it
small apartment happened. Too, yeah. And yeah. Then, it's an open door, right? So I keep on hearing people that might need a spot to crash, so... Yeah, you can stay. Next thing I know, I got like, oh, geez, I got 6 people staying over. So I should probably let you know, hey, by the way, it might be a bunch, but I think it worked out.
One of those nights, we were enjoying some pops at the Celtic Colors, so we decided to not drive back. And we had the accommodations with the big van. That was kind of fun. Yeah.
Camper van?
Yeah, camper van.
That'd be a good move to leave it there all week. And
Yeah, for sure.
That was a good time.
Yeah. Maybe we should try playing a tune.
Sure. We're equipped. We're sitting here with instruments all
we
around
got,
us.
We got instruments. Well. See if anybody can hear this. There we go. There's my instrument.
Let me get mine.
What do you got over there, Eric? All right. So let's shuffle over near this other microphone and play something.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe... I remember one of the tunes that you did at least know how to pick when we were playing together before. It was a Jack Daniel's reel.
I know that one, yeah.
We could try that.
Sure.
And then I thought while we were playing it, it's actually kind of funny how you ended up in Cape Breton too. And mm-hmm. you told me this. So how does that go again?
Oh, geez. Well, there's a long, 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 extensive version of it. The shorter one, maybe long. We'll see how it goes. But my friend moved here a couple years back, I guess it'd be 7 or 8 years ago. I'm from Ontario, Oakville, Ontario. And then met my friend Tyler in Waterloo at Wilfrid Laurier University. We went to Teachers College both. And in Ontario, they were telling us there was no jobs. So I don't know. I think he did throw a dart at a map and end up in Cape Breton. I think he heard of the band program because it was a pretty big selling feature of teaching band, and we're both music teachers. So he moved out here. I stayed and I taught in Waterloo, and his job sounded so much better than my job. So I quit my job and moved out here. And that was it. That's the short version. The longer one is there was a night in Northside East Bay that... a fire hall meeting Flo Sampson from Terry McPherson, and I met Bernadette at an airport, and Terry's her brother, and she set us up with a kitchen party. I was saying my band I was in Toronto was going on tour out east, and I've heard of these Cape Breton kitchen parties, and they sound awesome. Like, you know, mm-hmm. That's a foreign concept to me. I've never heard of that, right? Yeah. She goes, oh, my brother Terry's the man for them. You got to call him. And I do, and he goes, yeah, no problem. I'll set up a kitchen party. You guys stay at my house, and there we go. And he ended up putting on a show at Northside East Bay Fire Hall and played there and had an awesome night, like amazing, and went back to Terry's and hung out and talk all night. And met Flo, and she's telling us all about these ECMAs and her Flo case, and then our band would be great, and we got to do it next year. And we just had an outrageously fun night. And that was the day. I was in Cape Breton for one day on that tour, and that was the day where Tyler's first daughter was born, on that day.
Wow.
So it was really cool that I was there at the night and the morning after and got to go see his daughter, Penelope, in the hospital. And perfect timing.
So, but other than that, you'd never been to Cape Breton?
I visited him a couple years in a row, a couple summers. So I always landed in the summers, and obviously summers are amazing. So I was like, this place is great. And visiting the summers, and then, I think the summer before his wedding was the year, was the time, and I was like, this is it. This is what I'm going to... We were on a boat in the Myra just doing figure eights, and I was like, all right. Like, what more do you want?
Out on the Myra.
Yes, yeah. So, that was kind of the journey to here, and then I landed in January of 2020. So everything was great, normal, and perfect for a month. And then
it wasn't.
Then it was different. And then I stayed inside for a while. But then we got back out. I feel fortunate for the whole thing. But it was I'm still here.
Funny, you just kind of show up and fit in. I mean, you're everywhere, so it's awesome.
Well,
and part of the music scene now.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's easy to meet people out here if you play music. So.
Yeah.
When I first moved into Sydney, and my neighbor is a photographer, Joe Sampson. And so, when I moved in and met my neighbor, and I was like, I came here. I hear the music seems awesome. And he was like, well, Joe happens to know every musician. And not only is he an awesome guy, and we hung out and became friends and stuff like that, but you know, you're at a good show, like rock show. He's not into the tunes as much, but for like any music, singer, songwriters, bands and all that, you know, you're at a good show if you see Joe floating around. You're like, oh, if he's here taking photos, that's a good spot.
So you were in Sydney first and then Bedeck.
Yeah.
And now North Sydney.
Now I'm Northside.
What else can we talk about here? We could just try and play another tune.
Want to play another tune? Yeah.
Trying to think of some of the old ones. Maybe let's go with something in A.
All right. Thank you.
nice.
Yeah.
Good tunes.
Were you into tunes much before you came and lived in Cape Breton?
No, not at all.
Never heard a tune in my life. When I was moving here, actually, and I was telling people back home that I was moving here, met a girl from, we were playing a show from, and she was from Newfoundland. And she goes, "Oh, you're moving to Cape Breton. What tunes do you know?" And I was like, "What are those? What do you mean?" So, no. Even when I visited, I don't think I saw the music. I saw how much music there was around and everywhere, but I don't even think I knew of tunes until I moved here. And the governor's sessions, where it was the first time I heard tunes. And a bunch of people playing them all at once, and blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember who was playing?
I remember a few, yeah. Because I think I probably went to 4 sessions. There was one night that was awesome. It was Jillian and Jason, Jillian Head, Jason Roach. Mm-hmm. And yeah, obviously I don't know who anyone is, right? So we're playing the tunes, it's great. Jillian was leading. She was kind of the host for that night.
Right.
And at the end of the night, everyone was kind of spattering off, and it was kind of late, but I felt like we were jamming, mostly because I don't know the tunes. But then Jason got up to the piano and started playing.
Yeah.
And then I was just riffing, and I thought we were all improvising. They were probably playing tunes that they knew. But I was just closing my eyes and giving it. And that was an awesome time. That was so much fun. I remember doing that. And going to the sessions. Yeah, there was a bunch of people that played. Colin might have done one or two. Colin Grant. It was Mario Calissimo who I met there, who was always there, and he would help me with the chords.
Okay.
And he was my life jacket of me saying, what's going on here? So every once in a while, he'd, you know, show me the chord. D. Okay. And that was the introduction to it. And that's when a friend who I met, who was a mutual friend with my friend Tyler, so Jen McClellan,
mm-hmm.
she's from New Waterford, and she gave me a Sobeys bag full of tunes. She said, "Oh, you like tunes? Let me print you out a couple." And she printed me off 500 pages.
A Sobeys bag.
It was just loose papers, right? I don't know how she did it. She like photocopied all different sorts of books and everywhere. And so all of a sudden I had thousands of tunes.
And what does she play?
She's a piper. She plays pipes. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Sobeys bag full of tunes.
Tunes. Yeah. Yeah. It was so, and then you got to decipher what are the good ones. What ones do you want to learn? So,
you have a background in music anyway. So, like, you're a music teacher, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, reading the tunes is kind of a good way to learn a few.
For me, it's easier than listening to it and picking it out. I'm getting better now that I know a bit more tunes. I'm getting better at picking them out.
Yeah.
But at first, yeah, because I did classical guitar in university. So, reading music on the guitar for me wasn't, like, I've been practicing that, doing that. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I can pick up a tune much quicker reading it than listening to it. But you definitely solidify your memory much more by listening to it. And,
right.
And then hearing how it's actually played, because how it's written and how it's played are sometimes just two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty close, though, in all honesty. I thought it was way farther apart, but now a bit more research or listening to it, right? It's like, okay, no, that's actually what's written. They just play it so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, sometimes, of course, there's like the, there's the personal kind of ornamentation and stuff that people will put in it, especially fiddlers.
Totally.
I think pipers do it too, but so that's the kind of stuff that, you know, makes it your own, I guess.
Yeah.
That is not exactly written. Sometimes they'll, you know, put a little trill side or something that.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell you to do whatever you want in there. What else should we be talking about, Eric?
When did you, get into tunes and get into playing them maybe more? And
yeah, for me, it was my grandfather played the fiddle. He's originally from Shetty Camp, and then they lived in East Bay for a while, a long time. That's where my mom grew up before they eventually moved to Antigonish. And so, you know, it was always around, like, the fiddle music in the family, and my grandmother would occasionally chord with him a little bit on the piano. And then some of my aunts got into playing that music too, like playing piano and guitar to chord with grandpa playing the fiddle. And I just kind of, and then I lived with them at St. FX when I went there, when I was taking music on saxophone. And, well, actually before that though, when I was about 12 or 13 or so, so I'd already been playing the saxophone a bit in school. I went with grandpa down to one of the festivals at the Gaelic College for the Cape Breton Fiddlers. And that was the first time I saw kids my own age, well, that I really remembered playing the fiddle. Up until then, I kind of thought it was just, you know, grandpas and the old folks. Yeah. So that kind of piqued my interest. So I wanted to get into that. So I did it, you know, on and off, kind of like for about 10 years when I was, you know, 12 to 20, 21, 22, whatever. And then when my grandfather passed away when I was in my fourth year of university, shortly after that, I kind of just felt like I really wanted to, you know, pick up the fiddle and just kind of keep it going in the family. So I was, yeah, I guess I was about, you know, 22, 23 or so when I started actually playing pretty regularly and practicing and all that kind of stuff, taking it seriously.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just fun. It's kind of a way of life.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Nice way to connect with people too, because you can play like everybody. I mean, it's kind of the same with the Irish Irish music community. You know, there's like a shared repertoire, and you can kind of get together and play with different people, and that's fun. Mm-hmm. I did get into playing a bit of the Irish stuff because when I'm traveling, whether it's like I used to work on cruise ships a lot, or anytime traveling, and you know, I was touring with the Cirque du Soleil there before COVID, and I thought it's fun. Like you can travel, go to any city. You know, France. I've been to places in France, Russia. You know, the U.S., Mexico. Well, maybe not quite as much in Mexico, but you get Irish pubs and people that play tunes, and so you know you can be anywhere in the world and find some common tunes. So that's what I love about traditional music. You know. Yeah. It's got that kind of social nature to it where you're just kind of hanging out, having a good time.
No kidding. That's pretty cool.
What else have you got on the go? Any particular projects with your bands or?
Yeah. I'm in another band, RG and the Peacemakers.
Oh, yeah.
And I play mandolin and keys in that. Doing my own music and recording and mixing, but that's all just for my own entertainment, whatever. I think right now I'm trying to learn a lot of tunes, and I feel pretty grateful for all the people I've met to show me tunes. So shout out to Howie for putting up with me, teaching me the right chords. Or
what have you been? Have you been like sitting down with Howie a bit?
Yeah, I met Howie through Jen McClellan. Okay. So they were doing the same therapy.
This is Howie, Howie McDonald.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So met him, found out to play guitar. So he has shown me a bunch, if not everything, I know, I would say.
Cool.
So about how to comp and how to play. Maybe he wouldn't want me to give him credit because I'm still playing all the wrong chords.
When did that start? When did you?
Oh, I've probably known him for over a year now, maybe a year.
Okay.
A couple years now. Yeah. Yeah, no, good friend. And we get together lots and play some tunes, play some golf and hang out. So it is nice hearing the detail of the things I've learned of comping for fiddles. Is like, I've said this to you before where I said, when we played at the Mabu Market, I'm still very insecure about my playing, but trying to be very secure outwardly.
Yeah.
And saying, Brad, it must be so difficult or challenging for you to be playing your tune and just hearing a completely different song in the background. Because if I'm playing chords that are not the chords you're used to, like that's got to be a challenge. You kind of just have to.
Yeah,
probably shut off your brain and just keep playing the tune because I'm playing a B minor and you're in G. You're like, what's going on? So hearing the detail about what you can do and play around, because it can be interpreted as the accompanist. You know, it's not a slap on the wrist to play a different chord. At certain times, though, you got to be sticking to some sort of rules and
right.
You know, land on certain chords at the right time and feel. But yeah, no, I've learned so much about how to comp and still so much to learn too.
You mentioned golf. It reminded me of a story of, well, how I basically learned to golf was when I was working on a cruise ship and we were visiting Hawaii and there was a golf pro on board. You know, there's a golf simulator on the ship, and who I was friends with, and we, you know, late at night, we'd sometimes just hang out in the golf simulator with a few people and have a few drinks and just kind of like play any course on the screen.
Those
there.
Are wicked,
So I got a few tips from him, and then they had these nice sets of golf clubs, like top of the line. So then when we pulled into Hawaii, spent 5 days in Hawaii, like on five different islands, and went to five different golf courses.
Oh, no way.
And this is like my first experience golfing other than back home, a local little par 3, like 9-hole course, which I'd done. But you know, this is my first like full professional, like nice, you know, full 18 hole courses. And one of them, it was hilarious. Like it might've been, I don't remember which island it was, but it's, there's two courses associated with, there's the seaside course or something like that. And then there's the mountain course. And so the, one of them is just, you know, obviously down closer to the water and the other one's kind of up in the hill. And so we were on the hills one and there's all these wild goats that are on the course.
Okay.
And so, you'd be lining up your shot in the middle of your backswing and all of a sudden, bah!
Hecklers,
huh? And they were the funniest things. I mean, they sat to, if you like real, like a goat, a full size goat, to me sounds like a man, like imitating a goat. Like, it was the most hilarious sound ever. Yeah. And like, this is on and off. They're all over the course. Like you'd be lucky if they didn't eat your ball or something.
Yeah, no way.
So anyway. It was fun. I had some good shots out there. Then when I got home, I bought some golf clubs, but I, you know, couldn't get the top of the line ones that I was using before. So I just got some other ones. Yeah, they were okay, but yeah. I never recreated the experience of golfing in Hawaii.
No kidding. That's a pretty good.
Yeah, and some of the courses we'd have the carts, you know, and we'd be like scooting around, and then you get the beverage cart, you get some snacks, some sandwiches, and
it's a great day.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
No kidding.
Well, maybe. Play another tune.
Let's do another tune, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is a good little chat we've had.
Thanks for the tunes.
Thanks for joining me.
No, no problem.
That's it. I mean, I guess I'll have to just see who else we can get on here and continue on the journey of the yet-to-be-named podcast. Maybe it'll be named by the time this comes out. But... How's it going, Heather?
Good. Yeah. I loved this episode. It was great to hear a little bit more about Eric Marcotte, who I've never met.
Oh, yeah, Eric. So that was the first one. I just got all this podcast gear, and I was just kind of figuring out how to use it while recording the episode. So for me, it was a little awkward at times, but it was kind of a test run.
Well, yeah, I mean, I found it interesting how you guys, you know, met through, you know, just being at the Gaelic College for one of the Cape Breton Fiddlers things. For people who don't know, the Cape Breton Fiddlers Association is kind of just a big group, I think, that pretty much anyone can join, right? It's not auditioned. Just if you play the fiddle, you can.
That's true. You don't even have to play the fiddle. You just...
could just join and learn, I guess, or...
Yeah, I mean, there's people that are members that don't even live in the area. They just want to support it, get the newsletters, you know, have access to everything, so... I think you can get all that from the website.
Yeah. And, you know, they don't meet very often, right? So you could just join and go if you're in town.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the membership is low, too. I think it's in the range of $25 or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, for people who don't know, the Gaelic College is kind of a special, unique place to Cape Breton. I mean, I think anyone who kind of lives in Nova Scotia knows what that is, but... I don't know if you want to talk a little bit more about what that is, or I can. I mean, you know more about it than I do, but it's, I mean, I mostly think of it as a place where people go when they're kind of younger, and then they go back for many years, kind of like the summer sessions where they would go, and you can learn more than one thing, and you go for a week, so you could learn Gaelic, fiddle, pipes, step dancing. I mean, the people I know that went there as teenagers seem to kind of just pick and learn a little bit of everything, so...
Yeah, that's where they do their bread and butter, I think, mm-hmm. with the kids. And they have a couple of adult sessions as well. Yeah.
And I think they do a little bit more online now, too. Like, we signed up for one of the things during COVID where you could just do some of the Zoom sessions. I think it was step dancing that we did. We being my children. yeah, and then, you know, they do like that live every Wednesday or something where they have
Their Wednesday night Kayleys this time of the year. Well, maybe they stream them all year long, but in the summers they have them live. You know, you can go Wednesday nights at the college, and these days they're, I don't think you can attend. I could be wrong about that, but you just, you know, they stream the concerts.
Yeah, so it sounds like when you and Eric were talking, Cape Breton is really more the place to be in the summer. I mean, I think we all kind of summer, fall, I don't know. I mean, I know some things still go on there in the winter, but
yeah,
there's definitely that sort of season that's much more vibrant there, I guess, than it would be now.
Yeah, tune season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is always interesting to hear from someone who didn't grow up in Cape Breton. I mean, I know it's very different just moving from away and still feeling so immersed in the music and finding everyone so friendly and... You know, the idea of someone just printing off like 1,000 tunes for him to learn because he expressed a little bit of interest is just the Cape Breton way, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I don't remember if this was actually in there, but he said something about, she gave the tunes to him in a big Sobeys bag. And so I think I mentioned that, but I don't remember if that was, if you actually heard him saying it or if that got trimmed out by accident or something.
Yeah, no, he said that, and just a
plastic bag, just a big grocery bag.
Big grocery bag full of tunes, yeah.
Loose, you know, sheets of bagpipe tunes.
Yeah, which would probably, it'd be fun to kind of sift through those and see which ones pique your interest, I guess, but it'd almost be a little overwhelming too. That idea of kind of learning versus like learning sheet music or learning by listening, like it was interesting how he was saying it's probably best to do both, like look through a little bit, especially where he has a musical background. But I mean, so many people would just learn by listening because they learned when they were so young, right? So
yeah, and you know, how do you pick a tune to learn out of out of a bag full of sheets like that. Whereas if you go to a Kaylee or something and you hear something, you know, then you could say, oh, what was that? And then, you know, try and learn the tune that way. I mean, if you learn a tune that way, then you're guaranteed to know some other people that know it and play it, yeah, rather than finding a random one out of a stack of papers.
Well, and that's another interesting thing about the Cape Breton Fiddlers Association is they have all those kind of sets that they've had for years, right? Like, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I mean, I still have a bunch of those at my house that I haven't really played, but it's those are, to me, those are sort of guaranteed tunes that everyone knows. So if you were ever starting, it would probably be a good idea to get your hands on some of those. And
yeah, the Cape Breton Fiddlers repertoire, then there's the book of their tunes, the Blue Book.
Yeah. But then even more interesting hearing him kind of, I mean, he's not really playing the fiddle, right? Just guitar.
That's right.
And other instruments.
He plays mandolin as well, yeah, but with tunes, he's mostly playing guitar, I think.
And so, I mean, yeah, like he was saying, it's interesting to kind of get familiar with playing the right chords. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a little bit about that from when you were, you know, teaching me chords on the piano. You can sort of just play like something similar most of the time, and then every once in a while that isn't the right progression, and you just have to be familiar with the tune to really know that, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's starting ahead with that too, having a musical background like he does. It was interesting when you mentioned learning golf on the cruise ship. I remember actually when you were, I don't know where I was living at that time when you were on that cruise, but I remember you sending an email. I must have maybe been living with grandma still at that time and saying like, well, one interesting thing that's happened to me lately is I learned golf on the ship. And I remember reading it and, you know, saying that to grandma and her saying, well, yeah, of course, like, only Brad would like go work on a cruise ship and learn golf on the ship. And then, I do very clearly remember you saying like, first place I'm ever going to golf is like, you know, a place most golfers would dream to go, Hawaii, and then ending up on that course with the goats.
Yeah, that was funny. I mean, the weather there was unreal for one thing, just the sun and the heat and, you know, so nice.
Yeah. And I mean, once you mentioned the goats, I did kind of look that up and it sounds like maybe it was Kona Country Club. There's two courses, like an Oceanside and
right,
a Mountainside. But interestingly, when I looked it up, there seems to be goats at most of the courses in Hawaii. So I guess that's a thing.
Even the goats go to Hawaii.
Which I don't think that's a thing here, but yeah.
Maybe they get Highland cows in Scotland on the golf courses and sheep.
Yeah.
Around here, I don't know, beavers?
Yeah, maybe.
Deer? I think we get deer.
There's definitely deer, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that for sure. It was funny listening to you talk about that kind of first gig that Eric did with you at Lewisburg.
Oh, yeah.
Because I haven't been to Lewisburg in a while, but, you know, when you relate it to Citadel Hill, I can picture that. And I'm sure a lot of people maybe don't know what Lewisburg is. It's
kind
of like a national historic site, kind of, you know, meant to replicate that time period, which would have been, I don't know, maybe late 1700s, 1800s.
Somewhere in the 1700s, yeah. It's a French fortress, village kind of.
I have a couple other facts. One is, in case anyone didn't really know what the Bridor Lakes are like, you know, when Eric was talking about brackish waters, like that area is very unique for that. Something that's, you know, not quite salt water, not quite fresh water.
Mm.
It's, you know, the Bridor Lakes like goes into the ocean, right? But it's not really a beach that way. It's just a huge, it's like an estuary.
Oh,
that's what it's called. Yeah.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was Eric Marcotte. And that's it, I guess, for now.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So let's see. We need to figure out a way to end these things.
Well, I mean, I guess you could just play another tune. I'm just kidding.
I'll just be like, tap a leave. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Thank you.